My guest this afternoon on Notably Texan is a Western swing, jazz, and folk violinist, songwriter, singer, and founding member of the Hot Club of Cowtown, Ilana James. The band's latest album is titled Rendezvous in Rhythm. It's available now.
Hey, Matt, it's Ilana.
Hi, Ilana, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am wonderful. Appreciate you doing this with me today.
Sure, no probs.
Well, Ilana, before we talk about the band itself, I wanted to kind of get into a little bit of information about your roots, because you're not originally from Texas. You grew up in Missouri, is that right?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Kansas City on the Kansas side of the state line, actually. So, yeah, I mean, I was born in Missouri, but I grew up in Prairie Village, Kansas, which, even though it sounds like Little House on the Prairie, it's really just it's part of Kansas City. It's over on the Kansas side.
All right. Well, you know, of course, from your years here in Texas, that anything outside of Texas is just a whole nother country to us down here. So I don't know.
I guess.
Well, that's interesting, and I want to get into a little bit later how you ended up making it down to here to Texas, but I understand that you were introduced to your weapon of choice, the violin, at a pretty early age, I think thanks to your mother, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I have an older sister, and, you know, I was just the kind of kid who didn't ever want to do whatever my older sister was doing,
okay.
I guess. You know, so she started playing the flute, and then the time came a couple years later, and it was time for me to pick something, and I used to hear my mom practicing around the house. And I thought, I could try that. So I think when I was about 4, I started playing Suzuki violin.
And you mentioned your mother playing around the house. She was, dare I say, a professional violinist? Or?
Oh, yeah, she's still a professional violinist. But, I mean, she would, you know, be practicing, or she used to have friends over to play chamber music and read string quartets and,
oh, wow.
You know, stuff like that. So there was always a lot of that going on, you know, in our house when I was a young person.
That's amazing. You know, I mean, you grew up with that, just thinking that's pretty normal. But I think for most of us, that sounds like a pretty amazing thing to have going on in your house while you're growing up.
Yeah, as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate it more.
Sure.
You know?
I'm curious, what sorts of music influenced you early on? You know, did your family kind of expose you to eclectic music, or was it all sort of classical chamber type stuff like you just mentioned?
My mom, of course, was playing classical music. She's not into, or like, you know, she doesn't play anything but classical music.
Okay.
But she does. She and my stepdad used to play all the visiting shows, you know, like Broadway shows that would come through Kansas City. They'd be in the pit orchestras and stuff like that. And so I got to go to all of those things. So really, I kind of got exposed to what to me were like both kinds of music, like classical music and Broadway musicals.
Okay.
I didn't have any really information, or, you know, it wasn't until I was probably a little bit older that I started listening to, you know, the radio or something like that. But I do remember the first album I ever bought.
Really?
For myself was like when I was 8, I bought the Scott Joplin, like a collection of Scott Joplin's rags. And that was really like, I used to sit and listen to that. That was, I guess, a little bit weird for an 8-year-old. But
I was going to say, boy, so many 8-year-olds clamoring for that Scott Joplin, you know? That tells an interesting tale with what you've gone on to do with your music. So that's really interesting. Now, I wanted to just kind of fast forward a little bit in your bio. I think it was after you finished college that you went on to form the band that we know, the Hot Club of Cowtown.
Right.
Some people have heard this story, but tell me about the inspiration behind the trio and this really interesting way that you kind of reached out to find these like-minded music artists for the band.
I went to college in New York, but before and after college, I've always been into Western things. I grew up with a horse, and I grew up riding, and then I used to work as a horse wrangler in Colorado. And
okay.
So after one of my summers of wrangling in Colorado, I went back to New York, and I really missed playing music because I had a job, like, I was interning at Harper's Magazine, and I just missed, you know, the West and stuff. So I put an ad in the Village Voice, which used to be a print newspaper. I don't know if they still print it.
Right.
But, you know, it's like the alternative paper in New York City, and I wrote this ad that just said that I, you know, was fluent in like these 10 different styles of fiddle playing, which was completely false. But I knew that with the right guidance, I could probably pull it together. You know,
okay.
I just thought, let's just see. I wanted to cast the net wide. So
yeah.
I wrote that, you know, bluegrass and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, a bunch of people did respond to that ad. And then one of the people who saw it at the time was Witt. And he called me and wanted me to come over to his apartment to start seeing if, you know, just to see if we could play together.
Yeah.
And he lived in the East Village at the time, which just scared me because I was just like, I'd never really spent much time down there, and back then it was like a den of like iniquity and like vice and creepy things. So
okay.
I was afraid to go down to where Whit lived. And after a couple of weeks, he was like, "You need to either come down here, or I'm gonna call somebody else." Meanwhile, I look back at that, I'm like, "Why didn't he come up to where I was?"
Really?
Living? Anyway, yeah, the hindsight, right? So anyway, I fought my way down there, and then as soon as we sat down and played together, I really thought, like, I just was just like, "Oh, this is what this is music is supposed to sound like." You know, this,
wow.
It just felt like an absolute fit. So then he and I just started playing together, and really that choked out any other kind of like extracurricular interests I ever had. And I stopped doing my job, and I, you know, we just started playing together, and we formed the Hot Club of Cowtown about 3 years later, you know, and we've been doing that ever since pretty consistently.
That's amazing. And in such an unlikely place too. You know, I think most people would be surprised to find out that the Hot Club of Cowtown was formed in New York City, as the old commercial would say.
That's true. But, you know, of course, one thing I like about Texas is that if you love Texas music and you have devoted yourself to learning it and continuing the tradition of Texas music, I find that Texans don't care at all where
sure.
you come from. And that is a really important thing about Texas that you wouldn't really find everywhere, you know. And
yeah.
That's been, so people have been good to us. And also, it doesn't really matter where you live. There's so many recordings, so many people who are able to geek out now with, like, you know, vintage limited reissues of a Bob Wills B-side from 1941,
yeah.
you know, that really a lot of that material is so accessible that all it takes is a passion to find it. And you can, you know, you can be as accomplished and knowledgeable as someone who, you know, grew up playing it around the house. It's out there for people who are, you know, passionate about it.
We'll talk more with Alana James of the Hot Club of Cowtown, so don't go away. Let's listen to a tune by the band now. This one's called Crazy Rhythm.
1, 2, 3, 4. Crazy rhythm, here's the doorway. I'll go my way, you'll go your way. Crazy rhythm, from now on we're through. Here is where we have a showdown. I'm too highbrow, you're too low down. Crazy rhythm, here's goodbye to you. And they say that when a highbrow meets a lowdown.
And that tune really shows off Ilana James' great work on both the fiddle and vocals. Accompanied by the other two members of the trio, Whit Smith on guitar and Jake Irwin, who plays the bass. Ilana James, the singer and violinist for the Hot Club of Cowtown, is my guest today on Notably Texan. And the Hot Club of Cowtown loves to kind of put their spin on a lot of classic pre-World War II songs. We just heard your rendition of Crazy Rhythm, which is off of your latest album, incidentally. I'm interested
yeah.
just in the way you guys sort of take some of this older music that some folks might not even be familiar with, and you can kind of put this new modern spin on it.
Well, yeah, thank you. I mean, I love that song. I guess I've just heard it for a while. It's a standard that was done by like Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli as an instrumental. It's been around for a long, long time.
Yes.
Then I heard Noe Mackay put out a record called Normal as Blueberry Pie like 5 years ago. I don't know if you remember that, but it was, she put that song on there as a Doris Day tribute. So a lot of people have done it. I was looking up words to it and I noticed that there was a really obscure verse to it about fiddling while Rome burned. And, you know, there aren't a lot of vintage tunes that I could sing that also have like a reference to, you know, Nero and fiddling. And so anyway,
yeah.
I made sure that we included those lyrics. So I searched for a lot of different versions of the song and, you know, found different versions of the words. And a lot of times when we're making a record though, it'll be like, you know, I'll find a song. I'll be like, I'd like to do this. We'll, you know, bring in a song. And then Lloyd Maines worked with us on that record. So we played all of our songs for Lloyd. And then we let him decide what he thought should actually be on the record. So
okay.
It's a collaboration. Yeah.
That's interesting. Inside the CDs, you are listed as playing the violin. But typically, in if you will, country music, violin is listed as a fiddle. And you just referred to a fiddle. For folks that don't know, I mean, there is no difference between a fiddle and a violin, of course, right?
Right. I'm not sure where the fiction that there is a difference ever got started. It's some kind of, you know, strange joke that people like to have. But the fiddle and the violin is the same instrument. And, of course, cultures the world over have this instrument that is a fiddle or a violin, whether you're in India or,
yes.
you know, like southern Greece or whatever, it's everywhere in the world. I mean, it's just how you're playing it. I happen to play the same instrument that I have had since I was 8. I've never changed it.
Really?
And I used to play, you know, in all orchestras and stuff playing this instrument, but it's the operator. It's not the it's not the instrument itself.
And you are kind of an interesting example of this because you're basically a classically trained violin player who happens to do some fiddling with the Western swing and whatnot. That happens to be your passion, but you can kind of play the classical stuff, or you can do some hardcore fiddling that'll get folks up and jumping around, which is just incredible. You're an amazing player, by the way. So
well, thank you. I have to say that I left the shores of classical music long ago.
Okay.
So I don't have any pretense that. I would not presume to say that that's still like a world that I'm, you know, into. I love to play maybe around the house when I'm home on the holidays and play with my family and stuff.
Okay.
But I haven't performed publicly classical music in a while. And fortunately for the rest of the world, I don't have any plans to do that right now.
Oh, well, come on now.
You never know. You never know about the future. But, you know, really, swing is this whole thing that, or, you know, even traditional and roots and folk music is, it's such a rich and challenging huge world that I didn't grow up understanding that. I didn't even know that there was that kind of music, so now that I've gotten into it, it is kind of like it's keeping me busy.
You told me earlier how you formed the band in New York City in the mid-90s, which, again, an unlikely place to form a band based on a lot of Western swing, but when did you guys and gals actually make the move to Texas?
Well, we spent a year in San Diego. Whit and I left New York, and then we went to San Diego for a year because he knew someone that had a cheap house there.
Okay.
So we went there and just played as a duet and played for tips exclusively. We just played at farmers markets and in the park and stuff, and kind of got a repertoire together. And then in late 97, Whit and I moved to Austin, and then we met our first bass player here in Austin, and then we put out our first record on Hightone in 98. So
okay.
That's when things got underway. And so we moved here, and we've been based here in Austin since 1998.
I'm sure this is a common question, of course, about the band name. A lot of folks, especially around here in the Dallas area, just assume that the Cowtown refers to Fort Worth, but that's not necessarily the case, right?
Yeah, sometimes people get kind of upset when we tell them that Cowtown is not Fort Worth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, just these looks of disbelief bordering on disgust.
That's blasphemy.
Yeah. But, you know, the Cowtown, it's just that, you know, the band name is actually for two different influences. It's the Quintet of the Hot Club of France was a very famous band that was playing in Paris. And, like, they formed in the 1920s and they recorded, you know, through the early 40s. And it was Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli.
Okay.
And they really created this sound of swinging violin and guitar. And so, of course, Django was a gypsy and his cousins played rhythm. And it was an incredible band that's been totally influential to just so many people. So there are lots of bands now called, you know, the Hot Club of San Francisco or whatever. So that's part of our influence. But because we love Bob Wills music and Western swing and hoedowns and fiddle tunes, we just called it the Hot Club of Cowtown. Cowtown is an abstract, like, the captain of the imagination. So
nice.
It is disappointing for people in Fort Worth, especially since we don't even play there that often. But once you know, that's the official line on the name of the band.
So okay. Cowtown of the imagination. That's pretty deep.
Right. Mm-hmm. But everybody has that. Everybody can imagine what a cowtown is.
Absolutely.
That's exactly it. So
no, I think that reverberates no doubt worldwide. So appreciate the explanation on that.
Sure.
And speaking of Bob Wills, the Hot Club of Cowtown saluted notable Texan Bob Wills on the 2010 album What Makes Bob Holler. Was that something that the trio had wanted to do for a while, I'd think?
Sort of. I mean, the idea, it's just like so obvious. But
yeah.
Our band really does this real, we try to do a real combination, like an even split between these hot jazz standards and gypsy tunes and stuff like that. And, you know, American traditional music and swing tunes, like, you know, from the standards era. So there was a guy in Japan who had released some of our catalog and divided it in half. He had divided it into a CD he called Hot Jazz and then one he called Hot Western, where he just split the catalog, you know, and
okay.
It was successful and it was a good idea and people could understand it. And, you know, Japanese people were buying it and we did some tours over there. And so we always thought that would be great because so many people come up to us after a show and they're like, which of these has the most, you know, gypsy tunes on it? And we would always have to say, well, they're all kind of a combination. They're a companion set. So we have the Western Swing Bob Wills tribute, which is the one you just talked about, What Makes Bob Holler. And then after that is the most recent album, which is called Rendezvous and Rhythm. And that is a collection of all hot jazz standards played acoustically, like in the style of Django Reinhardt and Stephan Rapelli.
I've not heard a recording of the Hot Club of Cowtown that I didn't think was fantastic. And I'm not just saying that to get you on the phone because I've already got you here. So I just...
That's really nice. Thank you.
No problem.
And it's all your fault. When I'm a grandma, my grandkids don't call you grandpa. I'll just tell them that it's all your fault.
Speaking with me today on Notably Texan is Ilana James, singer, violinist, and founding member of the Hot Club of Cowtown. And you're listening to Notably Texan on 88.9 KETR. I play the band often here on Notably Texan, but listeners may have caught you on other sources like Later with Jules Holland or Public Radio's own A Prairie Home Companion. How cool was it to play for Garrison Keillor and Company?
Good. You know, we've done that show a number of times. It's always different. You know, I like to go on that show when they're on location. We've done a lot of their shows when they've been traveling in the summer, and that's always cool
because
everything about the show is themed for wherever the show happens to be.
Oh, yes. I love that aspect of the show.
Yeah, and then that's neat. Plus, it has the vibe of a traveling troupe as opposed to when they're at home, like at their natural habitat, which that's fine, too. In fact, I only think we've played the Fitzgerald Theater once, and all the other times we've been on the show has been, you know, here and there.
Oh, but, that's cool.
It's neat, yeah. And I mean, I've been on it as an individual. I've been on it with the band, and it's always different, you know. I don't know. I hope I get to go back again. You kind of never know. I always feel like it's the last time.
Well, right, and of course, Garrison keeps saying that he's going to retire one of these years, so...
Right, so you never know.
You never know, but I would just think that it would be amazing, and I'm, of course, a radio guy, so I'm interested in the technical side of things sometimes, but I would think it would just be amazing to see how this whole live thing goes on there behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely, and, you know, it is so old school. It's like the last stop on this rich tradition. It's the last most well-known. I mean, of course, there are other live radio shows and stuff. To me, one of the most extraordinary things that is just fascinating is, you know, Sue Scott and... oh my God, the other guy, I'm trying to think of his name, the ones who do the voices and then the guy who does the sound effects.
Oh, yes.
They are just, you see the rehearsals and the level of professionalism is so unbelievable. You know, it's great to be a part of seeing people performing at the peak of what is possible. I mean, it's just endlessly impressive to see them do their thing. And then they, you know, turn around and they're in the dressing room and they're like the nicest people in the world, you know, and that's inspiring to me. I love
really
to see when, like, really successful people are really nice.
Oh yeah, no, that I know exactly what you mean, and that is so refreshing when you can find people that are like that. That's so cool.
Yeah,
but I know that the band, the Hot Club of Cowtown, has a pretty big following overseas, don't they?
Well, we've gone to England a lot. That's one of probably our strongest market worldwide.
Okay,
I can't say exactly why that is, but I have some ideas. But that's a place that we try to go religiously every year, and we have a lot of really loyal, committed fans over there. And, you know, the longer that you do this, you really realize that, I mean, it sounds cliche, but, you know, the whole, if you don't have people who enjoy what you do and are willing to come out and pay to see you do it, you don't really have a career. And so we have been very fortunate that there's been a really consistent, large number of people over in the UK who understand us and cherish it and come and support us again and again and again. I mean, we have that here too, but
sure,
for some reason, it's also a more organized touring system over there. And it, I don't think, has been choked off by commercial interests so completely like the United States has. You
wow
know, you can listen to the BBC over there and they are still able to, you know, be a big channel and pick their own programming and, you know, support artists that they themselves personally like want to promote. And it just seems like for as long as we've been doing that tendency, well, you would know, but that's on the decline over here.
Sure.
In a lot of ways. And over there, it hasn't quite been snuffed out yet. So that's been working to our advantage.
Well, you pretty much described exactly the differences between the commercial humdrum radio out there and what listener-supported radio brings to people here in the States. Very much like what the BBC is doing over there. They don't have the commercial interest driving them, and that's how we try to do things here on KETR, and as do other public radio stations. But while we're on that topic, do you want to, you know, maybe mention a little bit about why you think public radio is worth supporting and why it's in the community's best interest to pitch in?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, I only listen to public radio. And of course, speaking as someone who plays roots music, generally speaking, it's like independent radio, college radio, national public radio, anything that has not been just completely taken over by, you know, the commercial machine is worth supporting. And, you know, I used to hear people talk about this and I'd be like, yeah, you know, whatever. But I have to say again, as we've been doing this for quite a number of years, you really start to see like who your friends are, and you start to understand the power of just like, you know, you playing our records. I mean, this relationship that people used to have in this business, like when Lefty Frizzell would put, you know, 100 albums in his trunk and drive around the American Southwest and pitch himself to radio stations. I mean, those days are over.
Sure.
However, they are still living on in smaller stations that have just a direct relationship with people that are not beholden to these commercial interests. And it's really one of the only ways that people's music is going to be known and promoted. I mean, and plus there's, of course, Spotify and all these kinds of things. But, you know, to have someone like you, an actual host, someone who actually decides they want to play this music. And, you know, you promote public radio because you trust the host or you like to listen to the show. And so you offer that support, or, you know, the listener does. And then someone like you is able to be this portal and a tastemaker for things that are interesting to you, and everybody benefits from it. I've become much more sort of radicalized, I think, during this time as a touring musician, because you really start to see how things work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been an education for me, and it continues to be, you know.
Got to ask you about the dog pictured on most of the Hot Club of Cowtown's album covers. Whose dog is that, or is it just
some
stray?
Thank you for that very important question. Let's get to the real
yeah, I know.
Matter. That is Eva. She's my dog.
Okay.
She's going to be 11 in August. She's 10 years old right now, and she's been with us since she was 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
And, she's our tour manager. She does stage management. She helps with merchandising. But she's a great asset to the organization, and she first joined us in 2004, and the first tour we did with her, we did the Bob Dylan Willie Nelson tour, and it was at these minor league ballparks all, you know, throughout the Midwest and the East Coast. And I think she thought as a puppy that all of our shows would be a situation where she just shows up and there's a gigantic turf outfield where she
yeah.
can run around, you know, and be on stage with Willie Nelson. But unfortunately, that wasn't, you know, something we were able to replicate every year for her, but she still stayed with us, so.
The harsh realities had to be realized by the pup.
Exactly.
I think you moonlight sometimes as a violin instructor, right? I think you've got like an instructional something.
Yeah, my DVD, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, it's more like fiddle, you know, and really what that is it's for someone who was like me, who just came from a classical background that didn't understand the language of improvisation or understood really how chords were related to playing traditional music or going to a jam session. And what this DVD is, it's like a collection of things that I wish someone had told me.
Okay.
An hour, so that it would have helped. It would have saved me a lot of time. So I created that for, you know, people like myself.
That's great. And folks can find that online, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. You know, our website has it. And, you know, yeah. And Witt has some stuff, too. He's got some DVDs about, you know, guitar techniques. All that's on our website. So, you know, anyone can find that.
HotClubOfCowtown.com, right?
HotClubOfCowtown. Yeah.
Hey, and you've got a new solo album coming out soon, right?
I do, yeah. I've been working on it for a little over a year, and I'm excited about it. It needs to kind of get released that into the light of day. I've noticed when you don't have a deadline, things can just kind of wait and wait.
Sure.
But it's cool. Yeah, I put a CD out like 7 years ago, so I'm thinking, you know, every 7 years, it's nice to kind of blow out the jets and present something on my own. So that'll come out this fall or possibly early next year. We'll see.
Oh, do you want to let us spin a cut from that here on the show?
Yes, I could.
What tune do you want to let us hear from your forthcoming album?
This one called Queen of Chinatown. That's a swing tune that's kind of related to what you might like.
Okay, perfect. So, yeah, let's check out real quick a cut from the forthcoming album. Does that record have a name yet?
No.
Okay, so the untitled forthcoming album by Alana James. Let's check out a cut that we're lucky to have early here on Notably Texas.
I'm the queen of Chinatown. Golden skin and satin gown. The rhythm of my walk. The music of my talk. I'm the queen of Chinatown.
Man, this has been a blast. It's been a lot of fun talking to you, Alana. I want to wish the Hot Club of Cowtown all the best, and to you and your solo efforts. The band's about to be heading out on the road for quite a bit of touring here this year, as you do every year, right? But I think you're going overseas a bit.
We are. Actually, we're heading to the East Coast right now. We're going to go up and play the Philadelphia Folk Festival and Boston Museum of Fine Arts. We're playing in New York and stuff like that. And then we're going over to Idaho and then we're going over to England and back to Texas in December. We'll be up actually in Fort Worth, and we're going to add some Texas dates around the state, I think, in December.
So. There you go, Cowtown. Don't miss them. They're finally coming back, Cowtown.
Yeah, Cowtown.
this is great. I think folks need to always keep an eye open for when the Hot Club of Cowtown is performing around here. They're certainly worth catching. And I can't thank you enough, Alana, for taking some time and speaking with us here on Notably Texan.
Well, thanks, Matt. It was my total pleasure. Thank you.
A couple of extra resources for you if you want to find out more about the Hot Club of Cowtown or Alana James. Ilana's website is ilanajames.com, ElanaJames, ilanajames.com. And then separately, you can check out HotClubOfCowtown.com. It's simply HotClubOfCowtown.com. Hot Club's latest record is called Rendezvous in Rhythm. It came out last year. And you can look for Alana James' as of yet untitled solo album set to release this year in October. More about this program online at KETR.org and at our Facebook page, facebook.com/NotablyTexan. My name is Matt Minky. Thank you very much for listening.